Welcome. My name is Tyler Dealing. I believe this breakout is to talk about questions and answers and a little bit of information background on firearms. And that it happens to be something I know a little bit about. I've been going to church for most of my life, so over 25 years. I play on the worship team. The only reason I'm here is because somebody else got COVID. Yes, right? My expertise, I've been a cop for 15 years now, a little bit over. And in that, I have been in a firearms instructor for the last 6.5 full-time. I teach for the regional police academy, so all the cops in the county, at some point or another, I see and yell at them in one form or fashion. technically, my title is a training officer. I am a subject matter expert for the county in firearms, ballistics, weapons laws, manufacturing. I'm certified from Glock, Smith & Wesson, Colt, Remington, Mossberg, on all kinds of different platforms as an armorer, so I build them too. It's a redneck's dream. I'm telling you, they pay me and give me lots of funding to build, teach, and shoot firearms. Now, I'm going to give a couple of big caveats. All right? I will do my best to answer everything. You live in California, and therefore most of these laws, which are state mandated, remember, as umbrellas go, the feds are here, but as far as firearms laws, the states most of the time supersede the feds, unless we're talking automatic weapons and suppressors. We're not going to talk about automatic weapons and suppressors. The answer is no, just no. Okay? Simply right. And then from there, the state laws are what I get to play with. And I will tell you, I have a file drawer that I'm constantly taking, throwing stuff away, and putting new stuff in because it changes all the time. So when you ask questions about laws, relevant current laws, about anything firearms related, I will tell you straight up, they change all the time, and if you call 5 different DOJ reps, which I do regularly, I'm going to get 4 different answers on any question I ask. Because at the end of the day, it is humanity reading legalese, and the legalese was written by morons. No other way to say it. All right? If your representative can call it a 30 caliber ghost clip and the bullet button makes the gun shoot faster, that says everything you need to know right there. All right? And that's an honest answer. And you can quote me on that if you want. I'll call it to them to their face. What I'm here to talk about today is basically, I'm going to outline a little bit of the big stuff as it pertains to us as homeowners, and I don't know if any of you are law enforcement in any way or have been in prior military stuff, some of the weapons you may or may not have brought into the state, and again, the answer will always be may or may not have brought with you. We're going to leave it there. We're not going to speak in factuals because we don't want to admit anything. Otherwise, have a tragic boating accident next weekend. And then remember that your current attorney general runs DOJ. DOJ is the last word in all things firearms, all right? You can be right, but what they say is what matters, okay? And as you've seen in the last couple of years, you can be right all you want, but what they say, you're gonna have to fight them. And they fight with your money, and you fight with your money, and you don't have enough money, okay? So understand they are the final word, whether or not it's right. We're going to let that sit because that's an important rule when it comes to gun stuff. You can be right all you want, but at the end of the day, whoever is the person on the other end of your argument, if they have the authority to do so, their interpretation is what matters in the moment. Are we good with that? Excellent. No. I'm sorry. I didn't say be okay with that. You guys understand what I'm saying. I'm not calling that right, but I will paint pictures where I can. I'll give you stories about some of the stuff that I've experienced or done what I can in my experience. I have lots of young cops from all over the county call me. I'm privileged in that I'm one of the only full-time firearms units in the county, us and SO, because we're the only people big enough. And SO is pretty much a logistics unit. They buy guns. They do test guns, so they have a lot of that knowledge. But they don't do a lot of the training, and they do shoot less than we do. So the skill sets are different. That's all. There's different focal planes for our agencies. Rob, what is it, Bonta, is this year's attorney general. We go through them a lot in this state. Just go with it. DOJ firearms breaks down firearms into basically, firearms laws basically into 5 categories. You got, and I wrote this down. This is the only thing I wrote down, so I apologize for reading. Storage, possession, transportation, use, and exchange. All right, the 5 subcategories of laws. Basically, everything is going to fall into one of those categories, and they all pertain to you whether you think they do or not. All right, how you get them, where you put them, how you drive them, all of that stuff matters. I will answer every question I can and do my best I can. And when I tell you I don't know, it's because I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you and make something up. I will tell you the most current knowledge I have, and that's it. know that most of the laws, except for the, what is it, roster and the possession stuff, apply to cops as well. So I have to play by all the same rules you do. Does that make sense? All right. Any questions so far? Okay. Firearms. Not new. No different than the, I promise you there's more injuries with a rotary saw than there are with firearms every year in this state. So as a tool, there's nothing more dangerous about them than any other tool you have in your garage. But they're scary. They're loud. If you disrespect them, they'll disrespect you almost instantly. And that's why everybody's afraid of them. I grew up where some of you might have gotten bikes or skateboards for Christmas. I got a gun, and my stocking was full of ammo. That's how my family grew up. You know, that's what we did. And so we went out, and we recreationally went out and shot things. If you could shoot it, we shot it. That was what we did. We'd buy buckets of golf balls from garage sales and then go lay the golf balls out just to make them bounce all over the hillside, right? It was a great way to do it. And then I grew up, and I believe God called me to be a law enforcement official. I went out. I had a great time in my field career. I loved, obviously, the aspect of shooting. That was a great part of police training, and I was good at it. So after about 10 years, the department invited me to move over into the training side of it. I had to go to a billion schools. I've got to train with a lot of great people. I will tell you, there is nothing more humbling than having a out-of-shape IT programmer hand you your lunch on a shooting range because he happens to be, you know, a third-tier grandmaster in the competitive shooting world. Athleticism and tactics be damned. He's just that good. And I realize in a lot of ways what firearms do, the reason we all love them, is it is the great equalizer. You know, it always has been. And let's not kid ourselves. We all make the arguments with NRA and whatever that a firearm is for sporting, a firearm is for hunting. No, a firearm is a weapon. That's what it is. Now, we can use that weapon and enjoy the training. Completely agree. You can use that weapon to feed yourself. Also perfectly righteous. They were always intended to be a missile projecting system, no different than a bow and arrow, to hate take a living thing and make it stop. That's it. Bottom line, all right? I train in the stopping of threats. Now, what is the most effective way to stop a threat? If the use of force calls it, is to shoot them. I mean, that's bottom line. We're not going to dance around this bush. So when we talk about firearms, we are talking about a weapon system. It is what it is. We convince ourselves otherwise. Now, does that make it any more or less dangerous than anything else in your life? No. Come on, just look at how you got here. Your car kills way more people than a gun does every year. And if you skew stats as much as you want, you know guns don't even do half the damage that they say they do. I am not up on the current stats for 2020 or 2019, but if any of you are plugged into the firearms community, I also have no social media of any kind or presence. So Colia Noir is a great lawyer who has a lot of good stats. He's fantastic. If you want to know some of the current stats, he's probably one of the people to go to. He's also very accurate. He doesn't use hyperbole or any of the other words to make it seem more or less dramatic than it is. All right, and that's a good thing. We tend to bring emotion into this argument, whatever side we are on it, and that oftentimes colors the way we talk to people. And like everything else in American society, we cannot seem to respectfully disagree on anything anymore. This is just one of those things. I grew up with my dad. My dad is the lesser-known dealing brother of this church. And on the toolbox, I still see it in the shop, it was an anti-Clinton sticker, and I'm sure it wasn't awesome. But how many of you, especially you older guys, are longing for the days of the Clintons at this point, right? So if you understand how much this stuff has swung, depending on how you view politics in either way, you know, the old left is now far right, just the way it is. And it's not new. It's always been that way. But questions thus far? All right, so that's a little about my background. I tinker, I play, I shoot everything. My specialty for the department is handgun. That's what I teach. I'm not too shabby. I know how to build a lot of them, and then I teach and instruct them. I recently handed off the shotgun platform because in a world where every single thing you do is accountable, a shotgun is probably not as desirable as it used to be, right? Every pellet counts, and if I can't control every pellet, there you go. And then I also do a lot of combat carbine, so the AR-15, that's what we play with. So everything I teach and almost all my expertise as laws or use have to do with combat, whether it is defensive combat or offensive combat, it doesn't matter. You're trying to hurt another human being using a firearm. Simple terms, make sense? All right, so all of that being said, that is with what authority I come to you. I am not here on behalf of the San Diego Police Department. I'm not here to represent anybody other than just another member of this church who spends far too much time thinking about this stuff, okay? And if I can offer or benefit you in any way, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. So at this point, legitimately, we have 35, 40 minutes. We're just going to ask questions, and we're going to talk. We're going to have a respectful conversation. If I point at you, you have the floor. Let's do each other courtesy and not interrupt each other. All right? Sound good? All right. Sound good. Absolutely. I was born on December 24th. Christmas Day, I found an open gun store and bought the cheapest firearm I could on my 18th birthday. Okay, just because I could. It will be a shotgun or a semi-automatic rifle. It will meet all of those requisite stores. I promise you, it's one thing gun store owners. I use the term owner very specific than a clerk. Okay, a gun store owner is very geared on what you can or cannot have. Gun store clerk, yeah, they're salesmen. All right, they ain't no different than Nike or Honda, just less lying usually. All right. Ignorant is not a bad thing in this term. It just means they didn't know what they said was wrong. That's what I mean it as, the original definition. So, yes, you can. And if you want something, go get it. Get a hunting rifle. Honestly, if you don't know firearms, and this is maybe your introduction to the world of shooting, Ruger 10/22 is about the greatest thing ever invented. Go buy one. Give yourself a Saturday. You're going to spend more money than you used to, but that's fine. Go find a place to shoot and spend 2 hours just plinking. You'll never look back. It's a great, simple little gun. Coleon Noir. It's a C-O-L-O-I-N, right? And then it's N-O-I-R, like L.A. Noir, but not as risque. It's fantastic. He is a really, really good, not only social media influencer for gun, but also just a knowledgeable, he was a lawyer who did not like guns, and then came over to the proverbial dark side once he opened his eyes a little bit, and he'll tell you all about it. Yeah, yes. And a Mossberg rep. Yes. Yep. Oh yeah, absolutely. So, completely biased and owns it. Oh, yeah. My favorite kind. I'm gonna tell you straight up. I'm biased about lots of things. I think everything else is just an imitation of a 1911. God made a 1911, and that was the way it was supposed to be. After that, it's all just cheap hand-me-downs, right? All right? I will be as biased as anybody else, okay? I've got them all, and I'm not telling you that I didn't get some of that tainted from where I grew up. I don't care. This is where I go. The beautiful thing about guns, if we are going to just go down to the rabbit hole of what we like, it is what we like. I will always tell you, the gun that you're going to shoot the best, that is going to be the best for you, is the one you like. The one that fits nicely in your hand. You just feel like you have a symbiotic relationship with that piece of hardware. It's about as close to being in the Old West as I can remember. All right? It's fantastic. It just feels good. And there are guns that feel good. I'll tell you what, there are perfectly reasonable guns that don't feel good. And I won't shoot them. I know other people who shoot them well. I was a 5-year vet. I can shoot. I got a beautiful 1911. Matter of fact, I'm carrying it right now. All right, beautiful gun. I got my butt handed to me by this second-tier piece of junk, Ruger P89, double action only. It's right now you can buy them for $150, secondhand crap, all right? Use these to go home and frame your house with. They're terrible. But the person using it had been using it for 20 years. He loved it, and he was amazing. Also happened to be like a 35-year SWAT veteran, and that's the gun he got when he got rid of a revolver, you know. I still got those guys around. So, excellent. Next, sir.
Out-of-state guns that if you were a resident of another state, you're now a resident of California, how do you legally bring in AR platform, pistol, hunting rifle?
Okay, so I know ARs are a big one, okay? I'm going to cover some big things. If they are not currently, and this is not going to be a response because that protects you from anything, you understand? If it is not currently lawfully registered as an AR, you cannot change it. You cannot transfer it. You can't even give it to your kids if you die. All right? The gun is going to be registered to you and you alone forever unless you leave the state. If it leaves the state legally, it cannot come back. They will not allow it back. There is no exception. All right? Those are blanket rules. You have to make it not a firearm. Now, then there's a term about, what is it? Constructive liability. I know there's another word that goes with that. I'm not certain. But That means, do you have a gun that is mostly put together? Like, what is the buzzword these days? Those ghost guns that you build at home, right? Look, if you want to play in those waters, recognize there are piranhas and take the risk you're playing. All right? My department is bleeding personnel, and yet they still saw it fit due to political pressure to make an entire unit that all they do is chase ghost guns. And they're very good at it. All right, got a 17-year-old kid who was 3D printing guns in his garage and had sold something like 1,250 pistols last year, right? Yeah, that's federal time. If you don't know anything about the legal system, federal time is always 80%. You don't get like the 20-year sentence and then get out in four with good behavior. You're gonna serve at least 80%. And they stack charges, meaning it's 5 years per gun. I just told you about how many guns, right? He's gonna meet Hoffa before he ever sees light of day again. So understand that that's just a system. It's actually far better if you kill somebody with the gun than it is to get caught making guns. That's tragic. But understand that if you're going to play in this world of ARs and assault weapons, what the heck's an assault weapon? That's the stupidest term I've ever heard. But if you're going to play in that world of those and manufacturing your own firearms without a license, you understand your world. I walk into a world of risk, and honestly, I don't even want to step into it myself. I don't. I fix other people's guns. I don't make them myself. All right, you understand? Nope. If they can prove it. Again, dangerous waters. Make sense? Yep. Well, I'm talking about both. Doesn't matter. If it's registered here. Now, again, I recognize the AR platform is a direct impingement bolt chamber in 5.56, yada, yada, yada. And what we are all in part of our mind describing is flash hider, ejectable magazine, pistol grip, stock, you know, the way God intended it. Everything else is just trying to make it legal for California. Nobody makes those guns that way for a reason. It's stupid, okay? So when you're trying to modify your gun and you make it California compliant, well, then it's compliant. When you get out of the compliance, you are not allowed to bring them back. California wants every reason, and I say this for myself, I have cops who have had DOJ show up at their door, say, prisoner the gun, give it to me. Because the cops stepped out. We may have them. My department and one other are the last in the county that authorized personal purchase. But it's really restricted. I have to get a hand-signed letter from the chief. I walk them through every step. I print out the 40 steps that DOJ makes them do. And if they deviate, DOJ wants that gun. They don't want us to have them any more than they want civilians to have them. Does that make sense? California hates the gun, and because they hate the gun, they're figuring out all kinds of ways to make it impossible to have. That Ruger 10/22 I just told you about is far more effective than an AR platform if you are an amateur or even an intermediate. If you're good, then it doesn't matter what's in your hand. You're the assault weapon, not the gun. But that's not the point. The point is the gun, the platform, 80% Colt, Daniel Defense, Stag Arms, whatever, they are all hated. Take AR away, put AK, same boat. All right, there are very few exceptions. And it's not even worth going down the road of that exception. The gun's not worth it. The gun is not worth your house. The gun is not worth everything else. Do I believe, we're not entering in, notice I haven't said right or wrong or any otherwise, doesn't matter. Those laws change so fast and they're so hard to track, it isn't worth it. Or if it is worth it to you, understand the risk you're taking. I'm not condoning breaking laws. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying figure out your ways to play with their laws. I can't tell you how many good gun store owners and stuff I get to know in this county who have had red flags and fines and violations because they thought they were playing within the rules and a different DOJ auditor came down and said, no, you're not. I read it this way. And then they spent the next year and a half without a license, without making an income, fighting to get their license back. It's just not worth it. Sir. Okay, Outlook. Okay, it is easier for you to get a weapon license by graduating from the police academy and being a cop than it is to go get one as a civilian, okay? Because every cop gets one. It is that hard. Your county sheriff does not want you to have them. Gore is anti-concealed carry.
He's actually issued a lot more in the last 3 years.
Now, why?
Because he got sued.
Because he got sued and lost. Okay, that's why. You're right. Gore is not a pro-gun sheriff. That's politically tactful, right? I've not stepped in one side or the other. We'll go with that. That is a statement his party has given as an elected official. In California, they wanted even less. All right, you know that because in their own ignorance, they eliminated open carry, putting themselves in an anti-2A place that forced them to grant or become a quasi-shall-issue state in their own stupidity, right? So the things they hate, they oftentimes legislate themselves into because they're just dumb. But we keep electing them. What am I going to say? So my stance on it is, I mean, if everybody's got teeth, people stop biting each other. And that's been proven in the states that allow concealed or open carry in their cars. Car crime, car theft, and jackings are minimal. States that have fairly liberal gun laws, meaning, and I mean liberal by the definition, that they are loosely interpreted, that it is erring on the side of or pro-firearm, pro-carry, pro-2A in that, they have less violent crime. Yep. And the stats bear that out. The stats bear that out. Now, my opinion of it is irrelevant, and that's where I'm going to stay. Okay, because again, I can't say that in modern times without it coming back to being a representation of the police department. All right, and we don't all agree the same way in my job. I don't agree with the six guys I work with in my own office half the time. All right, so, and we're all firearm nerds. That's what we are. So the laws themselves, though, do not favor you. But you want to know a fact? Getting caught with a loaded firearm in your belt is a misdemeanor. I mean, that's just a fact. Your opinion on it is not, or mine is not relevant. Sir, you're next. Cool.
And is it legal to have them in the house?
Yeah. Your president said just fire a shotgun on the front porch. We're all good. Right now. Yes. Derringers are not illegal. They don't, the capacity and issues don't matter, right? Like American Arms, two shots or whatever. And shotguns, unless they are semi-automatic with higher than 10 round capacity, don't matter. And I imagine if your grandfather gave it to you, it doesn't do either of those. No. So it that's fine. That's great. And handing down firearms used to be a tradition in this country, oftentimes from fathers to sons and mothers to daughters. I think they were my parents' wedding presents were guns. But that's a question. Now, that's a funny question. All handguns are required to be registered if you shoot somebody with them. It is a crime to shoot somebody with a handgun that's not registered in your name. It is a crime to carry a handgun that's not registered in your name. Now, that Derringer's probably still folded up in the same sock Grandpa gave it to you, and it's in the back of a storage box somewhere, right? That does not qualify as either of those two categories. It's the same way that a switchblade is illegal to possess, but not store. These are our politicians. They write really great laws. The shotgun, to my knowledge at this point, you still don't have to register a shotgun that you inherited. It's like a hunting rifle, as long as it's, again, not semi-automatic, and it's not higher than 10-round capacity. Okay, there you go. Am I doing this okay with the microphone? I'm not well practiced, so I just want to make sure I'm not coming in and out. Sir, you were next.
All right, so you talk with a loaded pistol in your vehicle, misdemeanor, okay?
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because that one now, they're going with the 12 or 20 carrying a concealed weapon in your vehicle, and it's called a wobbler. Is anybody familiarized with the legal term a wobbler? That's when a crime can be charged with either a misdemeanor or a felony. I guarantee you every cop in this county will charge you with the felony, and the court will knock it down to a misdemeanor. All you care about is it's felony bail and felony time until the court knocks it down. All right? So I would know. And by the way, I'm not encouraging you to violate the law or just carry it because it's a misdemeanor. We're clear on that, right? So the car thing is really dangerous territory. I will say, how did they get in the car? Did you give them permission? In some states it is. We call this free America.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think, because I had heard that, okay, so if you get caught carrying you're carrying a pistol, but you don't have a permit, I wonder if it would be different if it was unloaded versus loaded.
Of course. Because that states to intent. Yeah. Loaded gun means you kind of think about shooting it, whereas unloaded, now you're just violating a transportation law, aren't you? We're starting to play in that really dangerous territory where I would not want to advise you one way or the other. But I can tell you, what's your intent here? Your intent is to have a gun that's readily accessible for your own personal defense while traveling. Yes. At that point, you've now, and they, look, I'm a dumb cop, all right? 4-year degree, low end, you know, I liked getting punched in the face for a living. It was a great time. the lawyers who are going to be the ones on the other end of your bench are much smarter than me, and they've played these games. You don't want to get caught in a game of legalese transporting a gun. Now, if the gun is in a secure container, ammunition is separate, doesn't say where, and it is not within ready reach of you when you're driving, out of arm's length. And then technically, if you leave the vehicle, that box that it's in must be able to be locked and permanently affixed to the vehicle, meaning just run a cable lock through it, through one of the legs of your rack seat where you can't reach it from the driver's seat or whatnot, right? And you've now complied with everything. Does that mean you still don't have access to a weapon? God forbid the zombies come back? No, it just takes you a second. Again, California politicians make great laws. They just do. We should all be more like them. So understand that that's all the advice I'm going to give you on that subject, because that's dangerous territory.
I appreciate that.
No, not a problem. Yep, that's it. Now, and even then, having said that, I'm not. I have stronger opinions on some of these other subjects. We're going to leave those outside. So, sir.
Concealed weapon permits, are they awfully hard to get?
Yes, they are. Somebody in this room actually has a family member. I helped get one, and he let it lapse, which I thought was unfortunate. They're very expensive, and then they make you pay registration fees every few years to re-up them, and they are priced out of most people's budget. But the nice thing is you get to carry three different guns. Last time I checked, it was still three pistols at door.
Nope.
What's it up to now? Oh, nice. So as long as you go back and put it on the license, or do you have to put it on the... Each gun?
Yeah.
Outstanding. I actually agree with that. You know, it's funny because I have cops come in. Yeah. Good. And you can see, look, I mean, I get guys coming in all the time. I have my civilian lab techs and stuff who go get them. And they tell me these things, and I'm swear to you, not 3 months ago, that rule wasn't the same. Or it wasn't the same by the same tech who did the permit at the window, right?
It's been that way for almost a year now.
It's good? Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. Well, that makes a little more sense. Now, I will tell you, I agree with the whole, you got to qual with each gun. Because one of the hardest things about responsible gun ownership that we have to sell is the idiots with guns. That's what we are all overcoming, all right? In the same way that me as a cop, I have to overcome every bad cop in the country when they screw up, you, as a responsible, upright gun owner, must also overcome every stupid mistake that is made that makes it to the news or gets blasted out there. So when we have our peers or our Uncle Bucks or whatever, take your pick, who are doing just the dumb stuff that makes YouTube so much fun to watch, those are the things that they're citing against us when we do it. Carrying a concealed gun and dropping it on the dance floor. It's a great video, though. What was the other one? When I was brand new, I remember the "I am the only one professional enough to carry this weapon." Anybody remember that one? That's a legendary DEA video, and that guy really hates it. Shoots himself in the leg in front of a classroom like this of moms and kids holstering his weapon. It's fantastic. I think it's from 2006, so it's going back a bit, but it's a good video. But concealed carry stuff, I apologize. If you get it, it's worth the process. I would recommend that if you are even thinking about it, go out and get it. It doesn't mean you have to carry a gun. And it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, expect it to carry a gun. It also doesn't mean that you should necessarily use that gun anytime you see fit. It means now you have choice and discretion. If it is not something where you can, if you can part with a few hundred bucks up front and then unfortunately a few hundred bucks over the next year, it ain't not worth it. I know it's a double negative and there's a principal in the room, but I don't care. Next. Ghost kits? Yeah, don't do it. Because they're changing all the time and they're trying to eliminate them. So you'd be in compliance today and they wouldn't care and they'd get you otherwise. And it would be on you to pay and prove that you didn't do anything wrong. All right, that's a professional recommendation. Just stay away from it. It ain't worth it. Guns are cheap enough. I know the off-roster stuff sucks. And this is where I can kind of wave and smile is I get to test all the new stuff. I'll tell you what, my 115-year-old design pistol still outshoots most of the current Smith 2.0s and Glocks and whatever, okay? So there are plenty of good guns that are still on the roster. Now, if you have a friend who's a lawyer and you want to have a fun lawsuit, sue the state for bad business practice. And that's where you'll probably have the best chance of winning with this roster, off-roster stuff, because the micro printing and the safety stuff that they mandate each manufacturer for each model every single year, regardless if it's already passed the previous year and nothing's been changed, there's some ethics violations there. They don't even do that with cars. So understanding that, that's just another way to attack the firearm family. Sir.
What's the law on if somebody's breaking into your house and you shoot them and they're outside?
Well, let's be honest here. They're not breaking your house. They're still outside.
Yeah. Well, what if they're breaking a window or something?
Let them come in.
Did I say that? Is that on the microphone?
Dang it. I retract that. You should warn them repeatedly that breaking into your house is a bad thing.
Well, they're going to pay attention to you.
Well, they may or may not, but you're ready for it. At least you've announced yourself at that point, right? So the castle doctrine still stands even in this state. If they're in your house, it's assumed they are there to do you harm or your family members, and you can act accordingly.
Okay, so if they do get into your house, then you can shoot them?
I'm going to be every politician you hate. Okay, yeah, I'm going to be every politician you hate, and I'm not going to answer that. I am going to tell you that if they break into your house, and if you feel threatened with great bodily injury or force, or you feel threatened for one of your family members, it is assumed that they broke into your house, and by assume, that's a legal term. If they enter in, it is assumed that is their intent. They do not get to throw out, oh, I didn't think anybody was home. Not your problem, all right? It is assumed that that is the case, and then you can do whatever you need to affect your family. And at that point, by the way, you're inside your house. Concealed permits don't matter. All right, none of that stuff is relevant anymore. As long as it's not an illegal firearm, you're going to be fine.
So if you shoot somebody outside your house, you're trying to
shoot. I don't know what you're talking about. Does that make sense? Man, you're making me tiptoe up here. And I believe that's true in all 50 contiguous states and even Puerto Rico. All right. Yes, that is one of the last holdovers from Bush's second term, was that Castle Doctrine was waived in all 50 states, regardless, and it became federal law. So you're okay there as far as defending inside your own home. All right. And again, you don't have to ask, hey, what are you doing here? And look for the duct tape and string in their pockets to figure out what they're doing here. Okay? All right. Sir. No, technically, you're in your own house. You know, it's not. Now, do you want to go to court and say that when you got, because look, no joking, if you shoot somebody, they're taking you in for something, all right? If it's just questioning or whatever, you're not going to spend the whole night at home. Does that make sense? Okay, scenario, you're in your house. You're totally good to go. You've had half a sixer. We're going to leave it at half of that within the last 2 hours. So there is some registerable BAC on you. That's we'll go with that. I'm not saying you're drunk. I'm not saying you passed out. No, we're not going down the crazy train on that. Yeah, HBD, have been drinking. Somebody breaks in your house and you still handle business, all you have to do is justify that you felt threatened in your own home and that you were still capable of making a sound decision. Even if you were stone sober, the person broke in with a big sign that said, I'm here to kill everybody in the house. And then you shoot them. So as clear as mud, right? You're still going downtown for something. They're going to bring you in. They're going to talk to you. They're going to question you. That's normal procedure. Everybody does it. You would actually expect them to do that, which means if you're drunk, that's going to factor in, isn't it? So take that for what it is. Does it mean you did anything wrong? Is it a door for the defense to crack open and see that, oh, well, clearly my client didn't do that. This is a state that awarded the woman who left her bag in the aisle $7 million because she tripped the clerk to spill coffee on her, right? This state's legal decision-making is not awesome, to say the least, because you're being tried by a jury of your peers. Have any of you guys ever attended a jury trial? Okay, so your peers is a stretch. But do you want to put yourself in that situation? I don't know. Obviously, if somebody breaks into your house, I don't care what status you are, you do the best you can. That's it. You do the best you can, protect your family, protect yourself. I don't think anybody can argue with that. I have been privy to at least 8 or 9. Oh, here's one. I'll give you one. I was working in South Bay, so that's down in San Ysidro neighborhood. They call that Tijuana North, but yes, it's still United States territory. And I was working down there, and a Border Patrol agent was sleeping in his house. He had just bought the house 2 months prior. At the time, a Palm City gang member, it's a local sect down there, had broken into the house because the previous owners had a son who was a gangbanger for Cedro. So you see where this is just a classic mistaken identity. Palm City likes to hit people with hammers. It happened to be a thing of theirs. So he breaks in with a hammer, I mean, a Home Depot special, probably $5. He comes in, walks in, and he's actually in the end of the hallway when the Border Patrol agent does what you expect him to do, and he challenges him. And the guy takes one more step. Now, lucky for him, the Border Patrol agent is an amazingly accurate agent. And he shoots him 10-ring where the head of the hammer was. Which Perfect. The gangster lives to fight another day. I'm not here to say he deserved to die. I'm not trying to say anything like that. It just happens to be one of those comedy of errors where the Border Patrol agent sends a .40 caliber hollow point right into the head of the hammer and it fragments. Suspect goes down, everything's good. The suspect did not have a registered deadly weapon with him, right? It was just a hammer. There's room in your mind to think, well, hey, not Border Patrol agent, 100%. He went in, answered the questions, was home by 8 a.m. No charges filed. All right? That's a reason. That's what you would expect to happen. It doesn't matter that the gangbanger didn't live there. It doesn't matter that all he said is stop, and that was it. Didn't say I have a gun. Didn't say anything like that. You don't have to. It's not your responsibility. It's the bad guy who broke into your house. That's their problem. They get to deal with it. For now. For now. I can't speak for tomorrow. I can't speak for how we're going. But then again, at that point, do you care? You know, if it's a zombie apocalypse, who cares, right? I mean, that's just maturity, right? That's wisdom and maturity. That's not legalese, all right? Let's just, at some point, that stops when we move forward. But I will stay within the realm of today.
So, as someone mostly or completely ignorant of guns, if you were thinking about getting guns, how do you start?
Okay. Excellent question. All right, so getting started. First off, you have to recognize you're walking into a world that is like any car enthusiast show, tech convention, musician shop. You're going to walk into a place and be completely overwhelmed by all of the crazy that is the enthusiast. Now notice, I'm just going to call it the enthusiast, maybe zealot, depending on how far you go, but that's it. You can put whatever subject you want in front of it, but my people are crazy. They're passionate about their subject, right? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So you need to have some idea of what exactly you're looking for. Now, as I mentioned early in the on, all guns are weapons of some kind, but there's recreation, there's hunting, and then there's combat. I don't call it defense. I think I'm defending myself by actively engaging and attacking back, right? So it's combat. Let's call it combat what it is. So those three kind of things. Are you looking to just recreationally hunt? Are you looking to be recreational until you can be combat? Are you looking just because you like the thrill of the hunt? Well, whatever, I don't really care. Those are all perfectly legit reasons. They're all yours to have. I would start figuring that question out and then choose accordingly. If you're looking for combat, start off with a .22 pistol. That will teach you all your marksmanship fundamentals and still get the job done if you needed it. And it's the cheapest ammo you're going to find right now. Cheapest. It ain't cheap anymore. I do remember when that man right there and my dad would buy it. It is. It's coming down a little. I remember that man right there, my dad, we'd go buy two bricks, the 550 bricks, the federal. I'd get the six pack of Coke, whatever they drank was different. And then we would get that, we'd go spend the day shooting golf balls. That was like $20 plus gas. That was a great day. I grew up like that. It was awesome. I think my first 1,000 rounds of AK ammo I bought was $70. I made it buying lawnmower or running a lawnmower for a weekend. But that's where I would start. If you're starting for hunting, get a .22 rifle. And learn your accuracy there. And then once you get your license, I do recommend everybody, even if you are a long-time shooter, somebody who's been doing it a long time. First off, I train long-time shooters for a living. That just means you got some really bad habits most of the time, right? And they're in there really deep. There's nothing wrong with going out and getting training. I spend not a small amount of money going out and getting more training for myself all the time. I've got tens of thousands of hours of shooting at this point. I still have lots to learn. So I recommend all of you, especially newbies, go get one. NRA is not bad. They're cookie cutter. They're not bad, though. They got some good stuff. If you're looking for combat, there are really, really good low-level entry schools locally, and even just within an hour and a half drive, that will teach you some really good stuff in short order. You're next. Give me 1 second. Front Sight. Go spend a weekend in Vegas. Drive a little north to Pahrump. They even have hotels on site. You can get certificates for training as cheap as $50 for a weekend. Now, granted, you gotta buy a gun, you gotta buy a holster, and you gotta buy ammo. But you will go there, spend a weekend of shooting whatever, and you will leave 100 times more competent. And they are very qualified instructors. And it only goes up from there. However good you wanna be, you invest. It's Front Sight in Pahrump. All right? And that's, again, I'm talking here, and the sky is the limit from there. We got 20 years of combat vets coming back. Some of them have done some really scary stuff and are very good at it. And they were willing to teach you for money. How crazy is that? There is some really excellent training out there. Really excellent training out there for civilian and law enforcement. Okay, it's not just, they don't just teach their own. Search for it. It's good stuff. It's also a heck of a lot of fun. Way better than sitting around watching Sunday afternoon football. Plus, nobody's kneeling. Yes.
So a lot of these laws we talked about and sort of demeanor of the California DOJ in general, it really sounds like it's designed to sort of stifle self-defense, like almost to give people pause and to be concerned and to be worried about what they might do, what they might
yes.
have. So it's really about self-defense in my view. But my question for you is, because people have been through the academy, maybe they've been, you know, the escalation of the use of force, right?
Right.
Has changed in the last couple of years.
Yes.
For you, radically. But for a civilian, in other words, the escalation, not in our homes, I think we're pretty comfortable, everybody can defend their house. I mean, outside, like you're confronted, what does that escalation look like in order to stay in the zone?
Okay, so to stay in the safe zone. I'm going to paint a scenario. Scenarios I find to be the best way to teach a lesson. All right, so I'm going to go with that. You are at the classic ATM. So people still use those, apparently. You know, cash, paper money, it's currency, not Bitcoin. You get your money. And you turn around, and there's your local Lakeside meth head. I'm from Lakeside, so I'm speaking to my people here. And they want your money. And you don't want to give them your money. Okay, so here's where the potential force goes, right? You must make some verbal attempt to de-escalate. Okay, so you basically say, hey, please don't take my money. You're now stated, legally speaking, I do not wish to give you my money. So anything beyond this is force or fear. That's the 211 code for robbery at this point. So if they continue to press you, you can easily articulate that they were trying to rob you. We clear so far. I know some of this terminology sounds really basic, but these steps are the legal steps that you have to make in order to make sure you stay on the right side of this. So once that happens, they are going to make some form of statement to threaten you. If you feel the threat is credible and wish to give them your money, that's probably not unwise. All right? I'm not going to say you should fight for everything you have. You'll get that 60, 80, 100, 200 bucks back, right? Getting shanked with a Hep C knife, probably. All right, does that make sense? So they make some form of overt action to take your money. What do you do? Okay, well, let's say you've decided because you weren't alone at the ATM, you have your child with you or something like that. Let's say you have now gone into Papa Bear mode, totally good with this, and you decided you are not going to give them said money. Which is legally your right, right? To your right to your property and your bodily safety. And maybe you really liked that weekend pass to Krav Maga you got from your favorite uncle 10 years ago. I don't know. You swing back, okay? You're still totally good. Now, at this point, it's only hand-to-hand. There's no weapons involved. Now, they feel, whatever reason, you're winning. Good for you. They decide to elevate it by introducing some form of weaponry. At that point, if the weapon has a likelihood, or more specifically, you believe it has a likelihood to cause you great bodily injury and or death, emphasis on the or, notice it doesn't say it's going to kill you, it's and or death, that's the legal code, you can respond in kind. Okay? The only difference between you and a cop in this force matrix is I get always that plus one. That's it. So whereas you would respond in kind, some form, you could bring a weapon to the fight now. I don't have to wait for that. Once they reached for it, that's when I'm good. Does that make sense? Now, that's how it says on paper. We've all seen this. At the end of the day, you have to prove that, and the kid or whoever you're protecting is not a viable witness. The ATM camera is. They're pretty good. But understanding that is how these matrix work. You don't have a lot of options. You don't have a taser, baton, pepper spray. You don't have the training to go from hand distraction techniques to go to personal body weapons. And maybe you do, but you don't under the law. And that's the big difference. Many of you are far more skilled at fighting, at shooting or whatever than potentially I am. And I'm going to give you that. But you don't have the badge, therefore you don't have the law. And that's factual. That's not arguing. I defer to you as being skilled and wonderful people and your different rights. But that's how that law works. So as far as your escalation of force, choose wisely. You have every right to defend your property and your stuff, including on your person. Just remember that this isn't a Steven Seagal flick. Snapping their arm and stabbing them in the head with the side, that's not going to fly. They have to get there first. Okay? Make sense? Sir. Now, there's a funny question about air rifles. Now, I've watched air rifle videos. I think they're hilarious, and you can do amazing things with air pressure. I mean, catapult on an aircraft carrier, right? It's amazing. So you can do a lot with an air rifle. Most of the county and municipal districts have a county or muni code that govern those. If you use some form of explosive discharge to send a propellant down the barrel launching a missile, that is a firearm. If you use air pressure to launch the same missile, it is different. Again, California laws. I defer to your local ordinances to figure that out. BB guns, which are just, what, spring-loaded? They're still a misdemeanor in the city of San Diego. But my city council's been stupid forever. Ah, dang it, I said that again. My bad. So you're going to have to look. If you get caught with your kid in your backyard because a neighbor called you in, most of the time, and I mean this, most of the time the cops are going to come, hey, can you put that away? Don't do that. If you're a kid caught out in the street shooting out windows and streetlights, well, that would be a different story. But if you're not being threatening, I actually used to have an air gunner club who would come down to my range and we'd let them in the building and they would shoot in a room like this to targets on metal chairs across the way. Two of them were Korean vets who were wheelchair bound, unfortunately, but they were cool guys. And we had a couple of other old cats and they would put the same hole in a pellet size, what is that, 17 caliber? They just drill the same hole at 50 feet all night long. Stop, sip coffee, tell old stories and keep going. I think it's hilarious, it's awesome. Go pick up the pellets and reload them because you know it's a good time. It's a good time. And again, if everything's inside, who's going to see the rat out, right? Sir. Yeah. Ooh. Well, now you have actually entered into another one of those gray morasses that are not the same. Is it a state campground? Is it a federal campground? And is it a national park? National parks, most of your CCWs treat them the same as a school. You can't carry them, all right? So understand that. Technically, I can't either. I'm gonna make them find a reason to stop me, but you know, we'll see how that goes. Until last year, I couldn't drive through LA Unified City or LA City with my high cap magazine. Like I would have to get out and put a different mag in the gun to drive through, and then I have to swap mags. Yeah, that's stupid. But they do that. Now, as far as foresting goes, Fish and Game have more authority in the state than most local law enforcement agencies do. They are incredible. And their interpretation of the Fourth Amendment, that's the one that prohibits them from just straight up searching you, is very loose. So be careful. National parks still fall under state laws last time I checked. Okay, so I'm not national parks. I'm sorry, state parks or national forests, whatever. Those different, like Cuyamaca or whatever, locally out here. You need to read them. If you have an adventure pass or something like we used to have to go up to Ramona in the back of nowhere and shoot or whatnot, okay, but understand that you're transporting a gun to a shooting place. If you're driving around with loaded guns or whatever, or hunting firearms or during driving with guns in hunting season in known hunting areas, Fish and Game changes their rules all the time on how they enforce that. If you're respectful and show yourself to be humble and I'm going to emphasize respectful to the officer who stops you, you're going to get much better than if you start playing field craft lawyer and telling them what their job is. And oh yeah, don't mention that you pay their salary. Okay, they don't want to hear it. All right, and that, you're going to get a lot further than that. Just the same manners y'all use with CHP to get out of tickets. All right, don't be stupid. Well said.
I have a question about the Cassidy on magazines.
Yes. For like 4 days?
Yeah. Some people have those that are clearly legal, right? How is the police department managing encounters with that kind of capacity?
All right, so here's a good one. You guys are at a men's conference, so I'm going to give you this one. Is there not a distinction between, let's say, my generation, many of your generation, the generation right after me, and the generation even younger? I just had a recent graduating class who nobody was born before 1995. Okay, for the police academy. So you can understand that in that, and I want to speak frankly here, you can understand that they grew up differently than you did. The information they've had pumped into them is different than you did. The forced decision-making is different than you did. Okay, all those questions, they're just facts. We're not speaking about opinions here. They grew up different than you. They had access to different information. They have been taught by a different class of teachers. They have been educated by a different world. So their ability to make decisions is different than yours. What you think as reasonable, and what was that term that nobody likes anymore? Oh yeah, common sense, ain't common anymore. It doesn't. The default on those is very different. The person stopping you is the one who interprets what the law was at the moment. That is not the time, again, for you to fight them. That's what court's for. But you still have to deal with it. So for a lot of those people, they do not know the difference. I'm telling you, they do not grow up the same way we do. They do not know the difference that it doesn't matter what if the capacity is factory to exceed 10, you're in trouble. If it isn't, but you can squeeze 10, my 17-round Glock magazines, after 2 years of shooting them, they fit 18. They didn't make them that way. It just does. All right? Just because you can or just because you have them, don't put yourself in a situation where you need them. If you're recreationally shooting at the range or something like that, bring your 10s. Everybody's on camera. Everybody knows what each other can and can't have. As cool as it is to go there and flex your AR that may or may not have that collapsible stock or whatever, don't. Use your wisdom. If you want to keep that for the zombie apocalypse or when you think the laws are going to change again in your favor, you keep it in the dark where you and you alone know where it exists. You know what the first rule about a secret is, right? That's right. Don't tell anybody. I have made a career off people's inability to keep their trap shut. All right? Prisons are full of the dumb ones. It just is what it is. And I have worked with some of the best men, and I have some of my favorite people I've ever gotten the privilege to work with, did 28-year stints for homicide. They have wisdom I will never have. That's a sound statement. They were good men after making some really bad decisions. And they'll be the first to tell you everything I just told you with a lot more color. All right? It just is life. Sir? They used to.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then also, can you clarify the rules for buying ammunition?
Oh, yes. That was one of California's more brilliant moves in the anti-gun move. But know that that's not new. Illinois has done it for 35 years. You actually have to get a registered card that you carry to buy ammo. Right? So it's not new. But the ammunition law has basically said that in this state, you must prove that you are legal to buy ammo. By doing that, they are registering to certain rules, and allegedly a properly run background check is done at a nominal fee per purchase, and they have limited it to doing it only in person. So far, anybody bought ammo in the last year? Did you take out a mortgage to do it? Almost, right? I had four kids, now I'm down to three. That's the only way I can get bullets these days. So you pick which one I sold. It's all good. Ammunition is one of those things, again, don't argue with the counter because his computer doesn't work. You won't get anywhere. They are not going to lose their shop or their license trying to sell you a box of shells, even if you're completely right and they're completely wrong. Right. I've had four cops that I know in internal affairs for acting a fool at a gun counter. I'm a cop. I have a bed. I got a gun on me, and I can't buy ammo? That's right. Because they didn't. Do you know how they run you to see if you own a firearm? The completely supposed to be secure National Firearms Database. Supposed to be. Okay? So if you haven't bought did you know your guns fall off after 5 years? So if you haven't bought a gun in the last 5 years, you don't own a registered firearm. So what good do you have of buying a bullet? I know last time I checked in America, I didn't need to prove that I was a good person. You had to prove I was a bad one. But they don't care in this state. Again, you can fight with your money. They're going to fight with your money. And let's see who outspends who. Well, actually, I believe it's every 30 days you can only buy one semi-automatic handgun or one semi-automatic rifle and now one semi-automatic shotgun, either or.
Semi-automatic.
Yeah. That's because apparently that means it's so much worse. Right. But after that, the other thing is like hunting rifles. They have limited how many guns you can buy at a time, basically. If you're asking me to, so you can go tell your wife, yes, at least every 5 years. But that's different conversation. That's the ammunition law as it stands. And once again, as it stands today. I do not think there are any more of the clauses still pending, but every January 1st and July 1st, new clauses are coming into effect on old laws they've already passed. They usually passed quite sneakily when nobody was paying attention because I don't know COVID. All right, so make sure that you are, in fact, paying attention. And this is one of those, I'm not talking down to anybody here, I promise you, but ignorance is no excuse kind of moments. The laws are being passed. Every law you're required to know, even if they're absurd and there's, I don't know, 200,000 of them, because there are, and you were not expected to know. I didn't know them all, and I was enforcing them. I had cheat sheets in my ticket book. To affect the laws.
Yeah, like the laws that are coming out, be aware of.
Yes.
Or maybe change the direction.
Okay. So if you're talking to have an effect as a voter, vote. Pay attention to vote. We will still live in a ipso facto, I'm going to use that term technically, representative government. So the people you elect to represent you are important, correct?
Yes.
Okay. We keep having a state legislature of people who generally do not have views that line up with being pro choice on firearms. I'm walking a tightrope here. And because of that, the best way to affect that would be to elect new or different officials who truly represent you or you. And the healthiest part about our democracy is that we don't have to agree on most of the things, but we can respectfully disagree and come to some form of mutual synthesis of ideas. That's what we're supposed to be. It's been a while since that happened, but that's how it's supposed to be designed, right? Your best bet is to vote it out. Or get yourself in some of the many different legal firms who are taking these things to court. That requires you to put your money where your mouth is. It's not cheap. A lot of these firms, like, there are tons of agencies in this state who are suing the state all the time for different things. And they're doing it pro bono, meaning I don't want a penny out of it. I'm paying enough for you to keep the lights on. You fight. Whatever you get out of them, you keep for yourself. Lawyers love that, right? Because there are always seven figures on these things after 17 years of litigation, but they go through it. That's the best way to affect the change, in my opinion. Do I feel defeated? I've grown up and lived here my whole life. I've won maybe two elections in my entire life based on my personal belief systems, and one of those got overturned. So understand that you have to fight the good fight because it's your belief system. You fight for that, whatever it means. All right, and then after that, you respect the fact that other people disagree with you and the process is supposed to work. I don't get to run up and complain just because I lost another election. But if you don't vote, you can't say crap. All right, sir. He's a good dude.
And they put together a campaign where they went door to door to canvas or to knock on doors for this lady, and she won. So now you have a pro Second Amendment person in La Mesa because of that activism, because of that activity. Cool. And they're working on Supreme Case courts, court cases, and things like that. So that's one way.
There are a lot of things. Understand that.
Yeah.
Way deeper than I am. Absolutely. Way deeper than I am.
And there's monthly meetings and updates on email. So they tell you anything that's happening coming out of the pipeline, which is a gray area, which is not a gray area.
Yep.
It's actually a really good organization, and they organize shooting as well.
Yes. Now, picking up on that. I got 1 minute left, so I'm going to leave you this parting shot before, and I'm going to hang out for a little bit after, so you're free to keep talking whatever you want. Your founding fathers just determined that number two was important enough to state it the way they did, and that it was important enough that the only reason the Bill of Rights was enacted was because they couldn't get a constitution ratified if they didn't have it. And those are negative rights. If you remember from your government class, those are negative rights. Those are rights the government can't do to you. They can't infringe on. Those are not supposed to be negotiable. These are things expressly stated government can't do. If you want to meet people who agree with either, at least in the principle of that document, I'm not talking about your current feelings on guns, politics, I don't care. I think healthy discussion and debate is a beautiful thing. But if you want to at least get together and not feel as defeated as most of us do half the time we have these conversations, these are the kinds of organizations you want to find. Warning, many of the kooks and crackpots are there too. You have to discern who is who. Use your wisdom. If somebody's inviting you to see what they've got in the trunk, don't. Okay? Be smart about it, right? So again, I want to take comfort. Most, I've had the privilege of working in a very large agency for a long time. Most cops, and I get to teach the whole county all the time, are really good. El Cajon's exceptionally good. They got a great chief, a better mayor. And understand that you are, they want, Penal Code 4 is the one that everybody cites for discretion. Letter of the law versus spirit of the law, right? Why am I enforcing this law? Should I versus can I? The same stuff we teach our kids when it comes to making decisions about whether or not jumping off the roof of the cave is a good idea, right? Most cops are pretty good about it. Most. I'm not saying all. Right? I'm not saying all cops are good people. I'm not saying that. I'm not defending the badge in that way. I'm saying most people are very reasonable. And if you are reasonable, you use that good head all of you men have on your shoulders, and you default to the fact that God has called you to love these people at all times, that you are supposed to be loving both your friend, which the Lord says even the enemies do that, but you're more supposed to love your enemy, who is anybody of differing viewpoint on this issue. That's how Conan Noir does win most of his battles. He loves them through it. He's not sarcastic. He's not demeaning. He does get upset sometimes. I can't condone all the language he uses every once in a while, but I don't say that he's wrong, all right? And there are many, many, many more like that. Go seek that knowledge out on your own. Continue beyond today. This is such a surface-level conversation that we can have. And then I'm going to be here for a very, very, very long time. So feel free to stop me in the hallway, ask me anything. I'll give you what I have, all right? Know that I will be wrong once or twice. I am not the end of any of this conversation. And I do want to come full circle and kick you out. You ask 5 different DOJ reps what the law means, you'll get 4 different answers. And the only one who had the same one is because he's the underling who's trying to get promoted, and he just matched the supervisor, okay? This stuff changes all the time. Be up on it, be knowledgeable, be informed. Spend some time not watching TV or YouTube, but actually reading some important stuff, okay? It's good stuff for you. It will protect you and your family, more importantly, your wallet. And guns are fun. If you never played with them, go. Try them out. They're fun. All right? Be safe. Get somebody who knows better. And they're fun.